Yeah, we was running about that many. We weren't catching quite that many, but we was running them. Tell you that. And I left because of sickness. I never told Billy that. They got sick of me, and it was time to make a change. No, I loved serving as a pastor, and I'm not catchy, and I don't have any fever or nothing else, but I've still got a little bit of that sound in my voice. So if you guys will help me just a little bit this morning, I'd appreciate it. But I love being a pastor. But there came a time when the Lord started saying some other things. And I was appreciating, I was thinking, I've been in this building and in this church and heard some of the strongest gospel singers, musicians, everybody from folks that came in for the camp meeting. Remember the guitar pickers and all them boys that came in? All the way through the big name groups that have been here. And I've never heard anything any better than the Brad this morning and that trio just now that we just heard. I hope you thank the Lord for the people that lead you to the throne to worship God each Sunday morning and the Sunday night, Wednesday mornings. But I want to do what they just sang about. I want to obey the Lord this morning. And Billy said, you preach what the Lord has laid on your heart. Initially, we talked about a few days together and then the sickness you've had experienced. And I didn't know. I wouldn't have been able. I laid out Friday. It started really about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Started feeling way better Friday night, Saturday. But the truth is, I could come and preach, and I love coming to camp meeting, by the way. I missed this last year. It like ruined the last part of my year. I get what I need to push me the next few months during those days. And by the way, can I just say thank you on behalf of men of God that are standing in pulpits all across the country for your sacrifice in making that happen year after year. I'm not sure what the Lord will do with you. I know year by year you pray and evaluate, but I know for me it's been a great blessing. I've met some people that would end up being some of my closest friends as well as great mentors. Bobby Carden, who pours into your pastor, is also making a major difference in my life right now. But bottom line, with all that concern, they just sang, He leadeth me. I'd love to preach a camp meeting sermon this morning, but that's not what I feel led to do. And I feel led to go deep today and tonight. And really, you're only going to get half or whatever if you don't come back tonight. And I know it's not your normal tradition to do that. But you only got one more Sunday night left in this whole year. I mean, think about it. You'll be able to say, you know, from the time I started, I've went to every Sunday night there from the end of the year. But I hope you'll come tonight, because today I'm going to preach for a few minutes on this subject as you turn to Genesis 27 in your Bibles. I want to preach on getting real before the new year. Getting honest before God. Getting real before the new year. Tonight I want to preach on getting right before the new year. And I'm going to give an invitation unlike anyone you've ever seen. It's going to be something unusual that I'm going to invite you to be a part of. And I don't know what you'll have to do. Now, I promise you this. We were thinking about New Year's Eve, and Billy said, I remember the days, and I remember them too, when we used to have those midnight services, you know, and we'd go all the way up to midnight, let the young preachers usually preach and others preach, and we'd go all the way up to midnight. Then I remember one year we went over to Woodland and packed it out. Zeno was still living in those days, Brother Billy, and we had a big old service, and then we all went to Shoney's afterwards, and we liked to kill those poor ladies that were working. They were 24 hours then, and we scattered out those restaurants, and we were up half the night. But I'm trying to think about it, what that would be like to try to do that right now at this stage of my life. I don't even want to think about it. But we're not going to drop a pickle or an acorn or any kind of thing. Or I'm not. You may have plans to do that. I can promise you we'll be finished in order for you to get to any of that you want to drop. I promise you that. And Terry and I have made big plans tonight. We're kind of excited about it. You know, we're going to do what most of you are going to do. We did the same thing last year. We're going to sleep the old year out and the new year in. And it's just kind of the tradition at our house. But I hope you'll come. It's going to be a regular service tonight, right, Brother Billy? 6:30, and then we'll be on our way. A few years ago, 2019, when I was stepping away at Central, we were at a point in the life of the church where we really knew that there was some sin, but but we didn't know what it was. You say, how do you know, Pastor, when there's some sin in the church? Well, the altars, you don't see as many people saved. You don't see as many people baptized. You can always tell. And look, it's not just out there that we're concerned about. In order to have revival, Brother Billy's praying for, and you all are praying for a revival year in 2024, what we've got to do first is look inside and ask God, Lord, what do you want to say to me as a part of the fellowship of this church? And I don't know about you, and I don't know how it happened in your life, but there was a lot that happened to me in 2023. I experienced a lot. I've been hurt some in 2023. I've been disappointed. I'm sure I've hurt people myself. I probably said things I shouldn't have said and had attitudes that I know full well I should not have had, thoughts, feelings that I allowed to be there and then fester. As a result, we do really good at hiding. We have our Bibles and our big smiles and everything seems to be okay. But in 2019, I made the mistake, and I say that tongue in cheek, of asking God to give us something unusual as I stepped away for our new pastor, Pastor Cameron Cloud, to step in. I said, Lord, would you give us a genuine revival? So we called a group called Life Action Ministries. Some of you heard me tell a little bit about this camp meeting a couple years ago. Basically, they come in on two transfer trucks and a couple of vans. About 40 people come in. And they tell you, now, you're not going to have to anything. Don't worry about expense. We'll have a box in the back, and it'll pay our expenses. And I was freaking out about that to start with. Number one, those two transfer trucks, one of them is going to be more probably than the offering that comes in for that week. They wanted to do a 8-day revival. Think about that. So we set up to do this 8-day revival. Students from Bible colleges everywhere are coming in on those on those buses. And they're leading the music. They have children's programs and student things. And it looked like just a big event. Boy, little did I know what God was about to do in our church and what He was about to do in my life personally. They spent the first few weeks, or the first few days, talking about getting real before God. Just getting honest. I mean, service after service. Just digging deep on, would you be willing to open your heart to let God really look inside? Now, I'm going to say something to us as people that are members of good. This is a great church. This is a sweet, real church. However, we're all a mess. Just so y'all know that. I want to make sure I make that clear to you. I don't want to hurt your feelings or anything. But here's what I know about you. Don't look spiritual at me. Here's what I know. You're just like me. You battle with your flesh every day just like I do. And I wonder if before the new year begins tonight at 12:01, if there's anybody in this room that's willing to join me, and I've been praying and fasting about this, and asking God to help us take a deep dive into our heart and open up for a little while and get real. Hey, they did it in the Bible. There are a few situations where people got real, real honest. I'm asking deacons and pastors and longtime members and new folks and young people, all of us, I'm asking husbands. Look, there's some things that need to be made right before in your marriage before you step into the new year. I'm asking granddaddies and grandmamas and students. There's some things I'm sure that have happened between you and your parents that God wants to open up. Maybe you swept it under the rug because it happened months ago. And we didn't do anything about it. And as a result, let me tell you something. If God is going to move in a church in Johnston County, I don't know a better one than this one right here. And yet I know this. If He's going to do it, He's going to do it when we get really real before Him. Holy Spirit, we sense Your presence, have from the beginning of this service. This is Your church, Lord. This is not a man's church or a deacon board's church. This is Yours. And Lord, I know as good as I know I'm standing here that You led me to this text. And Lord, I pray You wouldn't let this crazy, ruffled voice, the occasional little cough, hinder Your people hearing this truth this morning. And then, Lord, tonight responding Lord, may this morning we get real before the new year. May we get real before you. And then tonight, Lord, if we could just get right before you, then maybe this could be the year that you pour it all out. Lord, do it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you just to let your eyes fall on the 27th chapter. And I want to tell you a story, and then we're going to our text. You remember, of course, that Isaac, his wife, Rebecca, are about to have a baby, they think. But it's not one baby, it's two babies. And do you remember how, when the birth took place, that Esau was born first? Twins they were. But it wasn't just Esau, because right behind him, his brother had a hold of his heel. He was called Jacob, the heel catcher. He was born second. God had made a promise to Abraham and then to Isaac. And you know what? When it comes to being dishonest, these boys got it natural. Because you remember what Abraham said about his wife? She's not my wife. She's my sister. This kind of deception, for the record, just so you know, another good reason for us to get real this morning, it follows down through the generations. The sins of the fathers and mothers, you watch it in your family. Visit the third and the fourth generation. Abraham lied. Well, guess what Isaac said when he was put in the same situation? She's not my wife. She's my sister. And the deception continues. Well, finally, when this little boy's born, he's got the name of the deceiver. They mark him as a deceiver before he's ever born. And do you remember the scene here without digging in too deep? Let me tell you the story. Look up here at me. It comes time for Isaac to die. There's a blessing in history, the Jewish history. The patriarch would pass down the family blessing. Abraham gave it to Isaac. Isaac was to give it to Esau. But it didn't happen that way, because as Isaac got older and his eyes became dim, his wife favored her baby son. He, on the other hand, favored Esau. And it was time for him to give the family blessing to the firstborn, Esau. And instead of giving it to him, Mama heard about it and pulled Jacob in. Do you remember this scene? This is, by the way, when you hear the word story, sometimes we think of it. No, this is an absolute factual, true story. She said, go out and take two little baby goats, bring them in. I know how your daddy, by the way, you've been married to somebody a long time. You ought to know how they like their food cooked. She knows how to prepare that to make it taste like venison, savory like he liked it. He said, Mama, I can't run out and do that. If I do that, Daddy knows he'll feel my arm. He knows I'm a smooth man. My brother is a hairy man. He knows what my brother smells like. And he knows what I don't smell like. Thanks, brother. And so he says, I can't do it. And she said, you leave that to me. See, she's a deceiver too. She's not being real. Abraham wasn't real at a point in his life. Isaac wasn't. Now Isaac's wife is not being real, Rebecca. And she says, you just go get those goats. She puts skins on his arms. He goes in. He's got a natural place. Look here, this thing about hiding and pretending we're something when we're really not is not something that just happened. It's a part of our DNA as sinners from Adam. We've been lying and hiding and pretending ever since. And look, it doesn't change when you get saved. I'm finding this out in churches all over the country. And when a church, can I just tell you this? In the last 2 or 3 years, and before that, we traveled in these meetings. But in the churches where folks decide to get real, even if it means a little bit of embarrassment, when they decide that, the heavens can open then. God's just waiting. Oh, Jacob goes into his daddy. His dad says, in fact, you want to look at it, look over at verse 18, chapter 27. And he came unto his father, Genesis 27, 18, and said, my father. And Isaac, his father, said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Now, I want you to remember this, because it's crucial. He said, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau. Can we say those three words together? I am Esau, thy firstborn. Was he? No. Look at verse who come down a little farther, he blesses him. He says, you know, you don't sound like him. But he said, and then it's not any time he leaves. He's received the family blessing. He's already stole the birthright from his brother. Now he steals the blessing from his brother. His brother comes in exhausted from hunting. And when he comes in, he says, hey, Dad, here's that venison you wanted. Who are you? Well, who you think I am? I'm Isaac, your firstborn. I've come for my blessing. Hey, I'm sorry. Somebody just came in here. I just blessed somebody. I thought it was you. And the anger rises up in Esau. He is so angry. He wants to kill his deceiving brother. As his brother stood there, was he real with his dad? No. Isaac's disappointed. Rebekah feels like the plan has gone just the way she wanted it to. I want you to turn over a little bit further to the 32nd chapter for the text. And I'm going to hurry as fast as I can, but I want to get this truth across. And I'm going to give you three words this morning in this scene as it relates to becoming real. And would you ask God this right now under your breath? You know, you can talk to Him anytime you want to. Would you say this to Him, Lord? Would you help me to be real this morning? Here's what I've learned. Until we get real, we'll never get right. Until we get honest, we'll never repent. Billy, here's why people aren't repenting in our churches. Here's why they're not repenting in these revivals. Man stands up and preaches his heart out on sin. Only the enemy whispers in our ears while we're sitting here, look, I'm sitting in a Baptist church. I remember when I got saved, I got baptized, I just put a 20 in the plate. I help out with the meals. We are big to rationalize that everything's all right. But here's who knows you, and here's who knows me. God knows me, and God knows you. He knows your whole life. He knows those words you spoke that you shouldn't have spoken. He knows the way you spoke them. You spoke them to that loved one or friend. He knows those thoughts and feelings of your heart. He knows the division that's there. He knows those superior, prideful feelings you have toward those in your family. I don't know all that He's going to say to us tonight, but I've got a truth for tonight that'll help reveal it. But we come to this moment. I want you to notice in chapter 32, remember what happens next. Jacob leaves after chapter 27. He heads to Laban's house, catches a glimpse of Rachel. Boy, oh boy, wasn't that a special moment in his life? She's beautiful. He's thinking to himself, Lord, is that the one you have for me? He goes down there to his house, and by the way, what you reap, you'll sow. Do you agree with that? Remember what happens? The deceiver gets deceived. He says, I want to marry your daughter here, Rachel. And he says, oh, you do? 7 years of hard labor. Somebody says, well, that's a lot for a woman. Psh, I've been doing that for 42 years for that one right over there. Billy, you have me 69, 59, whatever it was. Whoo! Seemed like 69, don't it, Billy? No, Regina, she's worth it. She's worth it. But here's what I want to say. Listen to me. He worked 7 years. Remember what happens next? He goes in. It must have been dark. That's all I can say. He wakes up, though. Turns. Can you just imagine this scene? He turns. And there's tender-eyed Leah laying beside him. What in the world? He runs out and he goes to see Laban. What were you thinking? I bet the Lord said, you're probably feeling the same way your daddy and your brother felt when you weren't real. He said, by the way, she's the firstborn. You got to work 7 more years to get her. 7 more. But it was like nothing to him, he said. He worked them 7 years, and then he ends up, the Lord says, go back. Number one, the first word, if you want to write it down, is the word, the announcement. The announcement. Actually, God says in chapter 31, I think it's verse 3, yeah, and in verse 13, look at verse 31, chapter 31 real quick, and verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return to the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Now look at verse 13, Genesis 31:13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and and where thou vowest to vow unto me. Now rise, get thee out from the land and return to the land of thy kindred. God has said to him two times, and he says it again here in chapter 32, when the angels of God met him, he's on his way. Look at verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother and he's coming to meet you. Look at verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, O God of my father Isaac, the Lord, which saith to me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Number one, God said, Jacob, it's time to go back. Listen to what he was really saying. It's time to get real. It's time to get honest. It's time to go back and stand before your daddy and before your mama and before your brother and get things right. It's time. Have you ever thought one of these days, this weight or sin that I seem to struggle with, that I can't get past, that I'm in a cycle about, I'll repent, I'll come to the altar, Lord, forgive me, I'll go back and then I'm in the same boat again. There's going to be a day when it's going to be over. Well, this is the day. God is saying it's time to come and get real. And so here's Jacob, and God has made a clear announcement. What will you do, Jacob? You deceiver, will you come clean? You've heard from God, what will you do? And I would ask the same of you and me. We've heard from God, it's time to get real. We're at the end of a year, we're standing on the brink of a brand new year when God could do whatever He wanted to do. We have a clean slate and faith in an almighty God who has unlimited power. But He's waiting on you. You say, what do you mean? I mean, He may be holding back some things in this church because you or me are not real. God has always honored humility. You ever notice that? He resists the proud. Look at this. But He gives grace to the humble. It takes a humble man or a woman to be real. It takes a humble teenager to be real. I've watched people lie, Billy. So have you. In all these years of pastoring, the people I've struggled with the most were harboring secret sins they were unwilling to deal with. Hey, I'll go a step further than that. You ready for this? And buckle your seatbelts. The times when I've been the hardest to deal with in the church have been when I've been struggling with my own sin. Don't you think we don't? The greatest man of God you've ever known was still a man. Number one, the announcement. Time to go back. Time to do it. Are we going to obey God and do it? Number two, the second word I see here is the word appeasement. Boy, I wish I had time to walk through every one of these scriptures, but it's 11:51. And watch this. This is important. Jacob is on his way home. He sends these messengers. If you want to read about it, it's the first few verses. He says, now I want you to go. I got all these oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. I want you to go tell my brother that I've got a present for him. I want you to go tell him I'm coming and tell him that I love him. I want to make things right. And then his servants come back and said, hey, by the way, he's on his way here to meet you. What? I hadn't seen him in how long has it been? Well, we know it's been 14 years. That's how long it took him to work for them too. It's probably been longer than that. Well, what? Well, what do you want? What did he say? Did he say what he wanted with me? Is he mad? Could you tell he was mad? Well, all I know is he's got 400 people with him. What? 400? What do you mean he's got 400 men with him? And I'm sure in his mind, all that guilt that comes with being unreal and deceptive, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill all of my wives and these children. That was not what was going to happen, is it? Number two, look at chapter 32, verse 13. Look at the second word, appeasement. Number one, the appointment. Number two, the appeasement. Let me hurry. And he lodged there that same night. He gets there and he took of that which came to him a present for Esau, his brother. 200, I'm going to read it like this quicker. 200 ewes, 200 rams, 200 camels, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 camel, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 donkeys, 10 foals. And then the servants and the handmaids with Leah and her children, Rachel and her children, the handmaids and the children. And he lines them all up. And here's what he says. I want you to send them by droves. I want a first group of them to go. And when you get there, he tells the servant, tell my brother, here's a present for you. Then I want you to send a second drove. And he sees all that. Here's a second present for you. Then he sends a third drove. Here's a third present for you. And maybe, just maybe, it will appease him in his anger. Let me tell you something about getting real, about being honest. I tell you what I'll do. I'll go to church. I'll come to church more, Lord. Don't ask me to get real, get right, repent of some things. I will come to church. In fact, here's some money, Lord. I got a bonus at my work. Here, I'm going to give you some money. Highway Shepherd, I'm going to support ministries. I'm not going to do this as much, or I'm not going to say that as much. Listen to me. Appeasement won't work. That was not what his brother was looking for. But then here's my scene, and I just can't wait to share this with you because God used it in my life in such a big way. In fact, Pastor, we were sitting at the First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, Florida. And that old man of God that's in heaven now by the name of John Phillips was preaching in this text. And here was his title, and we're coming to it. The Judgment Seat of Jacob. Third word is the word, the appointment. The appointment. God has an appointment with his servant that hasn't been right. Look at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone there. He sends all them over. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, I'm 60. I'll be 64 this year in April. So a lot of you that are my age are 10 years older or younger, one way or the other or so. When we see the word wrestling, it just brings joy to us. For some reason, we remember those Saturday mornings when we only had three channels on the television, and we'd sit there and watch Bulldog Brower or Johnny Weaver or, the Million Dollar Man, or we'd watch some of them, man. But this was a different kind of a wrestling match. Notice this appointment with God. The Bible says that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when Esau, he prevailed not against him. the angel of God, the Lord himself, I believe it was a Christophany, touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. If you've ever had a bone out of joint, you know that terrible pain. And he continued to wrestle with him. Jacob didn't turn him loose. And he said, let me go, the Lord said, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You know when people will get right with God? When they get to a place of desperation where we know we need God. Our land is in trouble. Our families are in trouble. Our community, churches are dying on every hand. Watch this. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And here's the moment I wanted you to see. Do you remember back in Genesis 27, 15 or so years earlier when his daddy asked him, who are you? What is your name? You remember what Jacob said? I'm Esau. Let's look now. The Bible says, the Lord said, what is thy name? And that deja vu moment probably came right back to him. But this time, he passes the test. Look at what he said. And he said, my name is Jacob. And the Lord smiled and he said, thy name shall be called no more deceiver. No more will your name be deceiver, Jacob, but Israel will be your new name. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. You made it. You did it. Here's my dream this morning and tonight, that God in the heavens will look down and say, she did it. He did it. He's not allowing that prevailing sin, that weight, that burden, that brokenness. She's not allowing that to continue in their lives anymore. They're going to get real. They're prevailing. Look at this. And the Bible says, and here's what God wants to do with you in 2024. He said, "What's your name?" And the Lord said, "Well, how come you ask me my name? Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And then notice what happens. This is my prayer for you for this year. And God, and he blessed him there. Far better than the blessing he stole from his brother. You know what God's standing? He's looking at you. If you had any concept of how much he loves you and what he wants to do for you this year and how he wants to bless you, but he can't do it until you get real, until you get right. You say, "Brother Tom, you think we're just a bunch of terrible people?" No, I know you're a bunch of sinners, though. I love you, but I... Has Billy told you anything? No. No, he hasn't. But the Holy Spirit said, they'll be encouraged later. Today's the day to challenge them to be real. I'm looking in the eyes of former pastors and leaders. You know what I see among our peers? Pretense, a lot of them. They're broken men, but they don't know how to come out and say, "I was crushed when this happened." When they called for my resignation, when they made this accusation that wasn't true, it broke my heart when this happened. I look in the eyes of divorced men and women, and everybody tries to pretend like everything's all right when I know that the breaking of the heart. I look in the eyes of children who've experienced such pain, watching brokenness in their lives. Can I just say this to you in close? We don't have the luxury to pretend. We're not Hollywood actors. There's a world full of them kind of churches. But God Almighty established the Benson Grove Baptist Church to be a place that's real and a lighthouse for the gospel in this community. And then he went and did it. He brought us a man. He didn't just bring him for y'all. He brought him for me too. He brought him for this community. And if I know anybody that I believe's real, he ain't perfect. He struggles some too. We've talked about it. But I want to ask you, will you be real? You say, "What does that mean?" Here's what it means. It means not just coming down an aisle. We do that all the time. It means starting right now in this invitation and through the rest of this afternoon asking God, "Lord, what do I need to make right with you? What do you want to bring back to my heart?" It may be something that happened years ago. I'm going to tell one story and I'm done. There's a famous preacher, very famous preacher, that hurt my feelings maybe 25 years ago. Is that dumb or what? I was just a young preacher, and I went to a big conference where he was in charge, and he's like a sermonator. He's a hero to the world just about. He's still living. Well, I was going to preach in Shreveport, Louisiana this year, Brother Billy. I have to repent every meeting I'm in. I preach on repentance everywhere I go. And the Holy Ghost brings something brand new to me. I must be the worst sinner ever. But I'm walking through the airport, me and Terry, and we get that little gate. Not many people going to Shreveport. And there was one seat left, and it was in the handicapped. But nobody was handicapped around there. Terry, she's not about to sit in it. She's young and fit and all that. Though she's older than me, but nobody believes that. But I'm tired and give out, and she ain't going to sit in it, so I plop myself down in that seat with my little rolling bag beside me. And all of a sudden, walking down that terminal was that great, well-known man of God. That man that I stood in line to speak to just one time. And when I got there, as he reached out to shake my hand, he was looking over my shoulder at who was next. Like, "You're not important." Maybe that wouldn't hurt anybody else, but my daddy died when I was just a little kid, and I never had much of an Isaac blessing. I guess I just wanted him to look at me like he cared about me just a little bit. I ain't making excuses. I was wrong too. I had too much pride expecting him to do that like I deserved it. But I carried that thing around, and he's walking up, and he's now nearly 90, still going to preach. By the way, guess what city he was going to? Yes, Shreveport. And I got up and I said, "Doctor," I almost said it, "would you please have my seat?" He said, "I know you don't, my son." Well, he probably didn't know me from Adam's house cat, but he knew I knew his name, so he asked me where I served, and he started talking. For 30 minutes, that man looked me right in the eye, showed more love and concern, and the more he talked, the more conviction I was under. It was like the Lord saying, "This is you all along. This was a sweet man. He just was busy that day. You blow this thing out of proportion." And I was so confused. I wanted to get somewhere in a corner of that airport and just repent and bawl, make it right. But he sits down beside me. We're in the same city that weekend. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "There's a lot of things going on that you've covered or you've forgotten or that you know full well aren't right. And you need to repent of this." And so I did. And by the way, every time I do, it seems like God speaks to me even sweeter. My ministry doors start opening a little better. The blessings start coming. He said, "I want to bless you." So the question is, will we get real? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. God knows your name. He knows you. This morning, I'm not looking for a huge response. If you need to come, you can. I know it's our tradition, but tonight is the night I'm going to ask every one of us who will to take a little white card. I'm going to pass them out. Anything God speaks to you about this afternoon, I want you to write on that card. Don't put your name on it. It won't be anything any of us will look at. And then I want you to not only write it on the card, but only write down the thing that you're willing to say, "God, I've not been honest about this. This is a terrible sin. It's a wrong. It happened in my life. I'm turning from it." Tonight, we're going to get right. Today, we just need to get real. Would you just say to God, "Lord, I'm going to do it no matter what. I'm going to acknowledge that I've been cold or dry. My prayer life's not what it ought to be. I'm not winning any souls to Christ. I'm going to acknowledge, God, that I've had bitterness in my heart and anger and wrath and malice. I've said things I shouldn't have said. Filthy communication has come out of my mouth. Lord, I've robbed you. I've hurt someone. I'm not speaking to my brother, my sister, my kids. Things are not right." Holy Spirit, they sang it. "He leadeth me, O blessed thought." Lord, I don't have anything to offer the Benson Grove Church other than to listen to what you have to say and preach what you want me to. Lord, I believe with all my heart I preach what you want me to this morning. Now tonight, God, I pray that we would make everything right as we get real. So that this year, Lord, this is the year. This could be the year you come. We don't know what we'll face, but God, this strategically, you've placed this church here strategically for your glory. Set your glory here, Lord, in an unusual way. Lord, do what you did to that little mountain church when you doubled it this past year. Bring hundreds of people seeking your face. Holy Ghost, do your work as we get real. And as we get right before thee in Jesus' name. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. If you feel you need to come as others have, then I invite you to come. Basically, you're committing to say, "Lord, I'm going to get real. I'm going to do it." Let me tell you how you're going to respond to the invitation. Not let it go. When you go out that door, forget everything about it. No, I'm asking you to say, "Lord, I want you to speak to me today. Speak to me this afternoon. I want you to get off by yourself. Make yourself a note or two if you need to. Ask the Holy Ghost, "Lord, show me. Show me a scene in my life. Show me a moment when I've been, when something has hurt my relationship with you, where someone has hurt me. But before you go deep in that, ask Him, Lord, how have I hurt you? How have I offended you? I want to be real. Looking forward to being here tonight with y'all, and I promise you I'll be the first one responding.